Hello, this is Joel and
Danielle Young
with For His Glory Ministry. We're bringing you a deeper teaching today from our ministry, which is designed to help you see the scriptures through Hebrew eyes. I'm a Messianic Jew, or a Jew by race and saved by grace, and we start studying the Bible at 5, and you never stop. So we're going to bring to you the wealth of information and revelation that God has given us to help share and teach and enrich your life today. Today we're continuing on a teaching of a two-part series that we started last week on the Holy Days of Israel. Now let's just review. There's 7, and your text is keyly noted in Leviticus 23. And let's do the first 4. What are the first 4?
Passover,
unleavened bread, first fruits, and then Shavuot or Pentecost.
Right.
All right? Feast of Weeks. If you've missed last week's show, please feel free to come to our website, which is located at
www.forhisglory.org,
in which you'll see the last show also listed in a series of radio shows and other tapes and book that we have available for you, and you can get that to come up to speed as we continue. Now we move from the spring to the fall holidays, and there's 3 to complete the 7. They are Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot. Rosh Hashanah is the head of the year. Yom Kippur is the Day of Atonement, and Sukkot is the Feast of Booths or Tabernacles. All right? Now, Rosh Hashanah is commonly celebrated as the New Year, but there's something about us complex people that are known as Jews. We have 2 calendars. All right? We have a civil calendar, and we also have a religious calendar. In a religious calendar, Rosh Hashanah is the 5th holiday in the 7th month. All right, typically. However, in the second calendar that we have, which is the civil calendar, it's the 1st month. So that's why on Rosh Hashanah, we say, L'shana tova tikatevu, may your name be inscribed for the year. And we pray that the name is written in the book, which is the book of life, God's book, so you can make it another year. All right, and we'll develop that.
You mean, Joel, even today, people greet each other by saying L'shana tova tikatevu?
Exactly. It's a very common thing done in Jewish circles and a Jewish community.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that tradition is continuing. Now, Rosh Hashanah has several names. It is called the Shouting of Joy, Job 38:7. It is a memorial of triumph in Leviticus 23:24. All right? It is called Yom Teruah, which is the day of the awakening blast or the day of the shout. It's commonly called the Feast of Trumpets, but it's more accurately called the day of the awakening shout or blast. All right. Now, it's called Rosh Hashanah in modern Judaism often because of the civil calendar's effect as the head of the year, and that's just something to be sensitive to. It also has several other names, and the names are very telling because they tell you about the essence or nature of the holiday. Yom Hadin. Now, what does Yom Hadin mean? It means Day of Judgment. Day of, actually, the judgment. Specific judgment that God is calling. Now, that's where bills have to be paid, all right? Recognize that God is not requiring except what is due. And if, for example, when we look at the sins of people, I want you to remember very carefully, people, God never sends anyone to hell. God's actually invited us, to quote E.V. Hill, he's given us an RSVP to heaven, but he's never invited us to hell. That's our own choice. If we all go out to eat, and one person pays for everyone, and then as we go to the front, and they come and ask, well, you know, where's the money? You're not paying for this here. They say, no, I'm with him. He paid. He paid for me. I'm with him. I say, oh, okay, go ahead. And then one of us, for whatever reason, which is always the wrong reason, we say, nah, I don't like that guy. I'm going to pay myself. The manager will stop you from leaving. You can't leave. And I say, well, if you're not with him, then you have to pay. You pay for your own meal. Our meal, though, people, has already been paid for by the sacrifice of Christ, our Passover. 1 Corinthians 5:7. Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed for us. If we do not accept the invitation that's been given and the sacrifice that's been made, then we pay. And as the psalmist says, a soul is too costly a thing for anyone to be able to pay. So that's a matter of choice. It's our job to teach and give you all the information and the love and speak the truth in love, while it is your choice and a great choice to make your right decision. And God thinks a lot of you to give you that power to choose life or death, heaven or hell, right or wrong. He's made you so much like Him, you have that kind of power to choose life itself. That's an act of love, and that's what God wants from His people. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So we see this is a very special holiday. It's also called Yom HaZikaron, Day of Remembrance. All Jews must remember their sins before Yom Kippur. God remembers His creatures in order to show them mercy. Now, it's also known as the day of the world's birthday. This is the day the world is known to be born. So there's many, many, many things going on this day. Yes, Danielle?
Why so many names for one holiday?
It is a critical turning point in the calendar. Remember, as we mentioned at the close of last week's show, in John 4:35, quoting back from Leviticus, we were quoting back from Leviticus chapter 23, and we quoted and we mentioned that, I'll read John 4:35, Jesus is the speaker, the Lord Jesus Christ, God Himself in the flesh, is saying, "Do you not say, there are 4 months, and then the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white for harvest." The 4 months is a signal to the sensitive and trained Jew who's studying these things through their lifetime, recognizing that Jesus says, till the harvest, but this is now entering the fall. This is the harvest of the fall. And we're not just talking about what we practice in our agricultural lives, as the farming community would. We're looking at the harvest of souls. So when you look at it with all those names, Danielle, it's a critical turning point. It's the day of judgment. It's the day the books of heaven are opened. Mm-hmm. It's the day of the shout of the awakening blast. Now, you should then, as we all should be sensitive to that, in 1 Thessalonians 4:16-18, when you hear that word shout, you would be using a concordance as a method of study, like we taught before in a radio series, Learning How to Learn. 15 steps, one of them which it was called Remez, R-E-M-E-Z. Again, R-E-M-E-Z, which meant what? Hint or illusion. So you would use your concordance to look up what? Everything about that topic that you could in order to understand everything that God wanted us to understand about that topic, right?
Right.
So you would look up shout. And in 1 Thessalonians is one, and relative to the text, in context, you would see the term shout in 1 Thessalonians 4:16-18, referencing the Bible, for the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout. That's the word shout. Again, for the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the shofar, or trumpet of God, and the dead in the Messiah, the dead in Christ, shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. How long is always?
Always.
A long time,
forever.
Right? Always. You got it. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. These are supposed to be words of
comfort.
Great comfort to me.
Yes.
Great comfort to you, no doubt. Now, again, remember, this is the anniversary of creation, Genesis 1:1. This is Yom Hadin, day of, literally, day of the judgment. Also, it's the day of renewing of the bond between God and His people. Very, very important. Now, there's an interesting thing that's little known, and I know, Danielle, you like this part very much. This is a holiday, and it's the only one that's celebrated over 2 days. But it's called 1 day. One long day. It's a long day when it's 2 days long.
Yeah.
Some of you may have worked and it feels like it's 2 days, but it's really one. This holiday, though, is a one-day holiday that's celebrated over 2 days, meaning it's one long day. This is very critical, and it's also a day that's interesting. It's the only of the seven holidays that begins at the beginning of the month. It's the first and second day of the month, the first and second of Tishrei, T-I-S-H R.I. Tishrei, that really begins this particular time period. Yes, Danielle.
And Rosh Hashanah is the first of the fall holidays?
Correct.
When exactly is that here for us?
That corresponds, since it's a lunar calendar, it varies from year to year, and there's a correction every so many years in the Jewish calendar, but it corresponds typically to our August-September time period.
So Tishrei is?
August-September time period for us in our calendar. Good point. Now, it's a two-day-long holiday, and all the holidays that were, first of all, when it was the first of the month, you had what's called a minor holiday with the new moon. And the new moon, you would have a very sophisticated methodology in Jewish writings. You can look up in a Talmud on Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish compendium of the oral law and the teachings of the Jews. And you look up in a Talmud, T-A-L-M-U-D, you'd have a whole study on the holiday, and you would see that what happens here on the holiday, there would be witnesses that would go out and they'd study to find out when the new moon began, because you couldn't start the holiday until you knew that it was the new moon. Then you would know it was the first of the month. Then you could begin the month. So there was a sophisticated method of witnesses going out, coming back to the Nasi, the president of the Sanhedrin. There'd be questions asked. They'd be questioned independently. And it goes through a sophisticated methodology. There'd be two witnesses, two new ones every month, so there'd be no collusion. You get clear information. And when a Nasi, the president, was satisfied, then he would declare that this is the new moon. So as far as the holiday goes, until they knew it was the new moon, nobody knew what day or hour it was yet, did they?
That Rosh Hashanah started.
Exactly. So wait a minute, that's pretty interesting. When you read carefully, people, Matthew 24... We must remember we got to go back to the culture and customs and tradition of the people of the Jews. And you look in Matthew 24 and examine the whole chapter, the Olivet Discourse, carefully. All right, I want you to read the whole thing. You'll be sensitized to the fact that Jesus answers the questions about the signs of his coming, when he's coming, when he's coming, when he's coming. Then suddenly you see a phrase where you see an expression, the Lord says, they ask him a question, he says, nobody knows the day or the hour. Not even the Son of Man or the angels, but only the Father who is in heaven. Now, does it make any sense to you people, if we look at who Jesus is, that he's God in the flesh, while being a man, he was always God, that he answers all their questions, tells them about the future, they ask him another question, and he goes, I don't know. Shouldn't that strike you? So singular, so unique, that he says, I don't know? You're not going to find that 40 times in the scripture. This should jolt out and hit you like a right cross in your spirit and go, wait a minute. He answers, he tells him about the future, everything he answers about the signs of his coming, tells him beyond what they even asked by developing it out more fully. And then suddenly he goes, well, I don't know, not even a Son of Man. People, he knew. You study the teaching we taught on radio on the rapture and a Jewish wedding, and more in depth on the rapture that we did in our tape series that you could find on our website that will be referenced later. And here you'll find out that as a Jew, he's speaking in very Jewish terms. Now, we just went over in brief about the holiday with the Nasi, the president of the Sanhedrin, and the two witnesses, and a new moon. What did we find out? Nobody knew when it was the new moon, the beginning of the month, so you didn't know when the holiday started. So in cultural idiom, not unlike most cultures, really have their own idioms, I would suspect all do, but the Jewish understanding, when he said nobody knows the what?
The day or the hour.
Exactly, Danielle. Nobody knows the day or the hour is another way of saying
Rosh Hashanah.
Exactly. All right, but because we are at times so far removed, like a few thousand years and across the ocean in a different language, custom, culture, tradition, and understanding and idioms, we often read back unwittingly and at times just not meaning to, but we at times read back our own culture, customs, ideas, traditions, and mindset and Americanization into a biblical text, and that's unfair, it's unprofitable, it is unwise, and we miss the degree we don't study the original. Now to the next holiday, which is Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, all right? The Day of Atonement. Now, technically, you study that out carefully, it's in the plural, which is often missed. So it's a Day of Atonements in the Bible, All right, the Day of Atonement. We're in the sixth holiday of the seven. This is the Day of Atonement. Now, on Yom Kippur, sins between God and man are forgiven. We need Yom Kippur, people. We all need Yom Kippur. The sins between God and man are forgiven. However, sins against man, or man against man, person against person, human against human, you can't go to God like that. You have to first go to the individual as best as possible. And you have to seek out the forgiveness of that individual if they remain in the land of the living. All right? As much as it is possible, humanly possible, for you to do. You have to seek that out first. And the Lord himself tells you, before you come to the altar with your gift, if somebody has something against you, you have to go seek that person out. You're not going to just go stand there and praise the Lord and go through that, and you have a sin standing against somebody else, and now you want God to forgive you. He says, go to that person first, get it right with each other, and then come to me for my forgiveness. Now, the word atonement in Hebrew means, in one sense, to cover. So in the Old Testament, the sins were covered, not removed. However, we do see that the sins are eventually removed, and they are removed ultimately and totally in Messiah. Now, this is a day of personal affliction, affliction for the sins, and we see also we have the blood sacrifice for our sins, all right, for the external sins.
How many days after Rosh Hashanah is Yom Kippur?
Good question. You have the first and second of Tishrei being what holiday? Rosh Hashanah.
Rosh Hashanah.
Then a few days later, on the 10th, so day 1 and 2, now day 10, is what? Yom Kippur. And that whole time period is called Yomim Noraim, they're called the Days of Awe, or the Awesome Days. And you notice that there's a 7-day time period between the two. All right?
Mm-hmm, right?
This is great evidence in Jewish terms and understanding for a pre-tribulation rapture. Because the holidays are so constructed that the first and second would represent the rapture. And now you move immediately those who did not choose God and God's payment for this through the blood of himself when he was here. And I refer you to Acts 20:28 that he purchased the church with his own blood. Then you see day, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8,
9.
All right. We see the 7 days in between relating to the tribulation time period, the time of Jacob's trouble, Jeremiah 30, verse 7, chapter 30, verse 7 in Jeremiah. This is the time of Jacob's trouble. Jacob is another name, of course, for Israel.
Israel.
His first name was Jacob, emblematic of the Jewish nation and Israel.
Right.
So this is the tribulation time period spoken about also in the book of Daniel, chapter 9, 24 to 27, where it says, 77s have been decreed upon your people and your holy city. Shavuim shivim nechtach alamcha wa al ir kadshecha. 77s have been decreed upon your people and your holy city. Daniel was Jewish, so your people are?
Jewish.
Texans. No, I'm sorry. They must be, with all due respect, and I love Texas, I live here, happen to be Jews, all right? Even Jews in Texas. So there's Jews upon your people and your holy city. And the holy city was what? Chicago.
Jerusalem.
Oh, no. Sorry. I must be in another country. So we must be talking about Jerusalem. We must not forget that, because if we forget that, then we're going to miss what God is saying. So study that out very carefully. And if you study out the time period and we develop it in our tape series, The Holy Days of Israel, in depth, you'll see that there was a decree that went forth years and years ago in the time of Artaxerxes Longimanus. And if you count it out and do your studies mathematically, you come to 173,880 days to the day. Not 81 or 79, but to the day where the Lord himself, in fulfillment of Zechariah 9:9, comes into Jerusalem riding on a colt, the foal of a donkey. He's rejected. He tells him in Luke 19, he says, you have forgotten. You should have known the day of your visitation. So rather, they were expected to know. They didn't know, and they're being held accountable for what they should have known. They should have known, Daniel, and they had known it, but it's another matter from the head to get to the heart for each of us, Jew and Gentile alike. believer and unbeliever alike. So let's pray that people's hearts open, and I pray you keep your hearts open for the Day of Atonement. Then you have one more holiday, Feast of Booths, also known as the Feast of Tabernacles. Chag HaSukkot, Feast of Tabernacles. It's also known as the Feast of Ingathering. And you have a whole array of things that go on here. It's an 8-day long holiday. You build a sukkah, a little booth, a little tent, emblematic of the Jews wandering through the Sinai after they are leaving the Exodus, after leaving Egypt via the Exodus on their way to the Promised Land. So the size of the booth today is a minimum of 26 by 26, and you need at least two walls. Now, an interesting thing from the rabbinic study is that the term sukkah for booth is in the singular, for one. But the plural for sukkah, which is sukkot, is spelled in such a way one of the letters is missing, a vav, which represents man and also is the number six. It represents because a letter equals a number. So this one letter is missing, and then it resembles the plural represents a singular. So let's look at what that means. It means that the plural, we're all supposed to have a sukkah, right? A booth. Everybody builds, even in modern Israel today, their own sukkah, like an extension on their house, and they live in it for 7 days. It's your portable tabernacle, all right?
Mm-hmm.
It is your tabernacle. However, the phraseology here, the grammar, is an interesting one, and the rabbis were quick to point it out as they studied it, that sukkah, singular, for booth, sukkot, plural, for booths is missing one letter, so the plural represents a singular. So it's proper for all Israel to dwell in one sukkah.
Wow.
We do. His name is Yeshua, in whom we tabernacle. And the Word became flesh, and we tabernacled, right? And the Word became flesh and tabernacled among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, in John chapter 1:14. Isn't that wonderful? That is really quite amazing.
It is.
It is. So you study your holidays carefully, people. You study, and let's review for everybody, Danielle, together, the holidays. And I want to mention another point in a moment. We have what? Passover, unleavened bread, then first fruits. That's when Christ was raised.
Those are which holidays?
The spring holidays.
Spring holidays.
Representing Christ's first coming, the Messiah's first coming.
Right.
Then we have the, what, Shavuot, right, or Pentecost, the giving of the Spirit, and the same day the Torah was given centuries before. Then we had the four-month hiatus represented from Leviticus 23, referenced in John 4:35. And we have the three in the fall, which is Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot. So study carefully also in Zechariah chapter 14, verses 16 to 21. Study that on your own, because this is something you need to realize we will all be doing in the future. Corporately, we're going to be celebrating this holiday together, year after year, as we celebrate Sukkot unto the Lord, the King of Glory. Look at Zechariah 14, verses 16 to 21, and you'll see exactly what I'm talking about, that all the nations that went up against Jerusalem, that's during the tribulation time period and potentially historically too, you'll see that all the nations that went up against Jerusalem will go up to worship the King of Glory, the King Himself, that's Jesus, the Christ, God in the flesh, God on earth, ruling and reigning from the throne of David in Jerusalem over the world. He's the King of Glory of heaven and earth. And they will go up year by year to worship the Lord on this holiday, Sukkot. So all of us, this will be a holiday that the world will acknowledge, recognize, and do year by year. Okay? Yes, Danielle.
Joel, this sounds like something we should know very, very well as Christians, and it's, of course, very interesting. Can you please tell us what tape series that we can learn more? Because I know there's more.
This was a part excerpt from the teaching that we did on the Holy Days of Israel. It was a 2-day long, we call them advanced since we don't call them retreats, Christians don't retreat, a 2-day long teaching we did on the Holy Days of Israel. We'll give it closing our website address where anyone's interested can get that. I suggest it strongly. Thank you, Danielle. Thank you all.